That was a good job, Joe and Dennis. That sounded good. Yeah. All right, and I have a few announcements. First, it's good to see Andrea back. We always like seeing your face, so I'm glad you're able to be here and well. And there's a few other people. I know Dave had some good news last week, and he went and got his checkup. If you weren't here Wednesday, he let us know that he didn't have any more cancer markers, if I have that right. So praise the Lord on that, and it's good stuff. So God's in charge, right? And we're thankful for it. Also, we're going to go ahead and cancel the VBSS meeting after church today because there's a few people out. So we figure it'd be better next weekend. We'll do it when we do the deacons meeting and just do it all in one bundle. So that'd be the way to go on that. Also, just continue to pray for our folks who are ill, you know, right now, going through various testing. I did find out Chad's father-in-law got put in a facility, so that's good. He was waiting on that, so he's in. That's good news. They're able to take care of him now and start working him over. Let's see, what else did I have? Oh, we're thinking about possibly having a social on Wednesday, the February 15th, just a dinner, have it catered. If you're interested in coming, we'd like to get a head count on that so we'd know how much food to order. Just let Edie know if you're interested, and if we have enough people turn out, we'll go ahead and pull the trigger on it. So two or three, that's fine, right? It's still a party. So I think that's all I have. We'll go ahead and dismiss the children. All right, so here we are to the essence of God on His veracity number 12 and 13. Before we get going, let's take a minute of silent prayer, and that just means that we can get in gear by acknowledging our sins before God. He simply asks that we confess those sins, not to me or not to your neighbor, but that is strictly His business, and He gives us the great responsibility and the priesthood to do that by prayer and confession. So let's take a moment, and we'll take care of that, and then I'll pray and we'll get started. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much for just being able to be here today. Every day is different. Every day is planned by you, and every day is provided with everything that we need to continue in your plan for our lives. And we just thank you so much for the ability to do that. We just ask today that we can concentrate and focus and open our minds up and our hearts to receive the word properly so that we can actually take it and make use of it. And that's what you desire of us. We thank you so much, and we ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So here we are making our way through veracity. And of course, you know by now that that's the truth. God is truth. His word is truth. Everything that we know about God and His word consists of truth. And we kind of took a different approach lately. We've been looking at the rejection of truth. Then we moved through that, talked a little bit about the great deceiver, Satan himself, and how good he is at fooling people about not recognizing what the truth is, or at least suppressing it, so we may not be able to see it as easy as we normally would. And then now we're here to wisdom. So, and we're listening to Mrs. Wisdom, or Miss Wisdom, however you want to look at it. And remember, Solomon is writing from wisdom's perspective, as if wisdom is a she, a lady, And she's telling us about herself. She's just explaining to us different things about her, I guess you'd say, personality, her qualities, what she is, what she does to us, and what she stands for. There's a lot of different things in this chapter 8 of Proverbs that we looked at. And a couple of those things that I was leading us up to, we looked at the first three commands, which you remember were to understand prudence. She told us that she understands prudence. And there was a command to understand prudence. And that was directed towards us. And that's good judgment, right? Who doesn't want good judgment? I want good judgment. You know, when you think about the Christian life, you look back on your life, it really boils down to just that. What good judgment did I have? When was I in fellowship with God and when was I not? See, there's either good judgment or there's bad judgment. There's either good decisions or bad ones. And so wisdom is how we can receive or at least apply God's word and make those decisions good ones. And as you know, that takes that consistency that we kept talking about. The next one was to understand wisdom. That was the same verse, remember? Have good judgment and understand wisdom. Well, those go together. Those are naturally a package deal there because you can't really have good judgment, at least life skills or life, the life journey that we're on without wisdom. And so you can understand how important understanding wisdom is. And that's what we do. That's what we do every day. I think hopefully, right? At least you do on Wednesday and Sunday. I know that because I see you. So I think that's definitely a start. I'm not ragging that out. But I think that grows. You get more. The more you love God, the more you want to know about Him. The more you want to do what He wants you to do. And it becomes a daily experience of learning and understanding His thoughts. And that's wisdom, right? Wisdom is actually taking what we have here and actually living the Christian way of life, taking it out of here and actually setting that example that we have a hard time finding in people. And that's why there's not many available to do it because, you know, it's just not many willing and positive believers out there who are willing to step up to the plate in a way that God is just wanting to maximize us. And, you know, if we're willing to do that, I really feel like the sky is the limit. And so if you're in a shell in your comfort zone, I would say break out of that. Break out of that comfort zone because it's not just about a routine. God doesn't have a routine when it comes to His plan. He will throw things at you that you don't expect. He will throw your timing off. He will throw your schedule off. He will do anything and everything if you're willing and ready to be used. It's funny how we get so comfortable in a routine. And we don't like to go outside that routine because, you know, it's more comfortable to be in the routine than out of the routine. But just remember that we are living the Christian way of life. And there technically is no routine in the Christian way of life, except, you know, I realize we have obligations that we have to meet, and God understands that, and He works with that. He includes that in His plans, in His adversity tests for us, and in the experiences that we go through to grow in our Christian life. So it's if you're willing, it's all there, but you do have to do a little wanting to break out of that shell that you're in, or that, at least that routine. And then the third command was to listen. To listen. And I said that last word, remember the base meaning of that was to just hear. It was to hear. But when you add the imperative mood on it, it changes it to listen. In order to listen, you know, you can tell someone a lot of things, but if they're not listening, there's no way to carry that to the next level. There's no way to be obedient to God if we're just hearing but not doing. Remember, that was part of that discussion. And that took us to the book of James, who he was having the same issue. There was just a bunch of hearers. They were just hearing. They weren't listening, though. They weren't taking the words and taking them, internalizing them with the Holy Spirit and living that out. And that was the problem. And here's the verse that we came to. It says, this is James. It says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, that's sin, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. So it's interesting that James is talking to believers here. And he's letting them know, hey, if you want to preserve, you know, that's the great thing about God's word is it preserves our soul. It saves our soul not only eternally when we die, but also here and every day it saves us, right? It saves us from failing tests. It makes us glorify God, and it also brings us honor as an individual believer within the plan, as a person that is glorifying God. So, you know, there's a lot to say about that. And we also mentioned how important, at least I hope I did, how important that we can't leave out in humility. You know, we can't receive if it's not done in humility. And I'm trying to emphasize that because I feel like humility does so much for us in the Christian life. It is truly a problem solver. Humility is one of the biggest problem solvers, I think, in your life that you could ever use as far as something that God gives us and the ability to think that way around other people. You know, there's so many options with humility, with people, you know, because remember what humility does. It doesn't react from something that is done wrong to you. It is able to objectively think about that and to respond in a gracious way. Humility saves you a lot of heartache, spiritual heartburn in the Christian life because it doesn't always react. And you know, when we think about how many times we react in our lives, we think that's gotten us into a lot of trouble. You know, pride and arrogance do just the opposite of what humility does. Humility receives something. This is referring to instruction, but guess what? It can receive a general conversation that may not be directed at you in a nice way. It can also receive those things, and it can handle those things because it relies on the power of God, not on your own sinful nature. Big difference, right? If we're relying on the Holy Spirit to lead us through dealing with people testing, that also allows you to be obedient. See, humility is very connected to obedience. You can't be obedient if you're not humble, at least have humility in a way that is subservient to the plan of God. So the name of the game is being able to receive something from an authoritative figure like God's word and to receive it in your soul. That requires humility. And that's why it's such a big topic. But, you know, when we don't have it, I think we can easily see in our own lives the problems that it has caused. We all have a sin nature. We all have a capability of going opposite of humility. And it creates a hard time. It gives us a hard time. It makes life hard is what it does. And it's decisions that we're making, and we're putting all this stuff on ourselves, on our shoulders, all this weight. But it's from bad decisions, right? It's not from a position of humility. It's from a position of arrogance. And when we think about it, there's so much that can go wrong if we stay in that position that is not in humility. It can cause a lack of growth, lack of spiritual growth. Because remember, it says in humility receive the word. If we're not humble, we can't receive properly. We may receive some of the time, you know, when you're confession, you get in fellowship, you know, we receive the teaching, but then all of a sudden we're right back out because we don't have humility. So you're having trouble applying the word when you get out from the class. That can be an issue. So not much application is happening without humility. There's no real ability to solve your own problems through the word of God. That's what God equips us with. That's what he gives us. That's why I'm here. Not to necessarily hold your hand, but for God to hold your hand. That's why we come every day, because God wants us self-sufficient in your soul to be able to walk in this life and glorify Him and realize that He is the reason why we can do everything that we do, because He's equipped us. He's equipped us with everything we need. Not only the information that we receive, the spiritual information, but also the living day-to-day provision. God gives it to us. He provides protection, security, and He also gives us the spiritual information we need to just wrap the bow around it and call it a day. So we need the ability to solve our own problems, and reacting to problems in your life is not solving problems. You know, with the claws out, right? Reacting is not the solving of the problems that we're looking for. Only humility is, because without humility, what kind of thinking we're in is in a subjective type, which means when I think of subjectiveness, I think of self. We're only thinking about self. We're not necessarily thinking about God at that moment. We're not necessarily thinking about that other person. Where are they coming from? They may not have any spiritual growth. They might not even know how to react to you. You know, you have to take weaker believers into consideration. We're the ones that, if we're going to set the example here, if they react and then you react, that's not two wrongs don't make a right. That's not glorifying God. There's no resolution. So we have to have some resolution within relationships. And the only place it's going to start is with the person that initiates change. That change has to come from the growing believer, not from the weak believer, not from the believer that doesn't have humility. Change, positive change and solutions come from the believer who takes hold of their spiritual life and moves forward. Because we can let people stop that very easily. We can. We can let people hinder us. We can let us stop our growth. We could get off track. You know, I've seen this happen in people that, I mean, these things can last for years and years, because someone got them off track and they're very bitter about something in their life. And, you know, humility goes out the window and they forget that it's not about me. It's not about myself. This is about God and what He wants to do through me. So we have to realize we've got to get back on that track and move past those tests that God threw at us and we may have failed. And that's a big deal, and it's a big problem solver. So, you know, this is one of those areas that can be discouraging as for a pastor to see, because I get to see you every week. But when you continue to see things not happening as far as no application, it can be discouraging, because receive. We've got to do something with that information. And the idea is to take it out of here and apply it in those personal tests, those personal applications that we need to be applying, instead of just reacting at everything. Because we can react all our lives. God is a gentleman. He has to honor our volitional decisions, and He does that. He tells us that you have a free will, and I'm going to let you choose what you want to do in every situation. And so there's always a tendency, or at least an option, to choose for that sin nature, which is the reaction. Or, you know, I'm going to get that so-and-so, right? There's always that option, always. It's always there, right? It's just like anything else in life. There's a good option, there's a bad option. So this is no different. But look how easy it is to prevent a lot of things, a lot of problems in our lives. Just right here, humility. It takes a lot of those things and it tosses out those bad decisions. Because, you know, humility, it precludes a lot of problems in relationships, because without it, there is no preclusion, right? There's a reaction right from the get-go, and then the rest of the thing goes south. Everything after that, it doesn't wait till the middle of the conversation. It does it usually right at the beginning, right when the negativity comes out from the other party. So humility does preclude in that way, and it plans. This is something that you have to already have in your thinking before you get to that moment. It can't be something that, you know, here it is right now. You got to have the information, and we do. We do have the information. We have the spiritual information we need. God gives that to us, right? He always gives it to us right when we need it. So there you go. Be prepared, right? We've got it. God knows we have it. Now he's going to try to use that or get to use you to apply it. So humility is a good thing. And I think the most important thing is this allows us to do is to accept and get under God's word as far as his authority goes. That's really what we're doing here. That's what we're doing. To glorify God means to take your own pride, self-righteousness, and to stuff it in a box and put the lid on that box. Because there's a lot more important things than you taking that thing out and reacting to that person. You realize in your soul that, hey, I'm here for a much bigger purpose than simply just keep, you know, reacting or tit for tat type of thinking mindset. So, you know, that's too common nowadays. We've got to have a little bit different than that. Instead of holding a grudge for months and months on end, there has to be some application going on. There's got to be some application. All these grudges that we're seeing with people between people, you have to think about who's winning. Who's winning in that relationship? Well, it's not you. If you're holding a grudge, you're losing that battle. And they're for sure losing because they're mad, just as mad at you as you are at them. But, you know, somebody has to be aware that both are going right down the tube. There's got to be a turn out of one. And I think you're the ones that are capable of recognizing that, hey, we're both going down the same pipe. Positive change starts with the person, with the individual. It doesn't necessarily depend on another person. Someone may not agree that you want to reconcile. They may not want any part of that. But guess what? It starts up here. They don't have to agree with you. You can reconcile with them up here, right? You don't have to necessarily hug them and kiss them and everything, call it a day. This is a mental process that God allows us to do within the own comfort of your soul. So it's powerful. And, you know, even in everyday authority, this helps us. And I'm not just talking about the pastor. Think about this applies to any authority in life. The boss, the manager, the policeman, right? Everything. I think it helps in everyday normal conversation, as we just mentioned. What humility really is in its truest form is it's actually the application of wisdom. It's applying the wisdom and living that out in your life based on the word. It's based on God's word. And that's being humble. Because you know what? Humility is ready for whatever a personality may throw at it. It's ready. It's not on edge, ready to attack. It's just the opposite. It's ready to receive and bounce that off of God and what he's doing and what he has to say and his truth within your soul, and then responding with whatever that may be. And you know what? 9 times out of 10, that's love. That's love. I'm not saying love is always what you think it is. But grace is rooted in love. It's love. Many times, you know, people, including us, are expecting a reaction. That's what they want to draw out of you, because guess what? If they're losing, they want you to lose too. They want you to be on that losing slope too. If they can get you balled up in your spiritual life for a week or two, hey, great, right? So if they're expecting that, why don't we do something different? Why don't we do what God wants us to do and say, you know what? I'm not going to serve a human being. I'm not going to serve my sin nature. I'm going to serve God who wants me to be humble. And we have verses, don't we? Be humble, have humility. We have verses commanding us to do that. So humility doesn't react. It's patient. Humility is patient. It's kind. It doesn't have to be first all the time. It doesn't have to be first. It doesn't have to know first. Doesn't have to be the first one to know about everything. Isn't that interesting? It doesn't feel the need to take the credit. Humility is one of those things that sits back and relaxes, depends on God in the situation that it's in, and moves forward. And that's, I think, the beauty of it. So biblical humility, as you know, there's a human humility that really doesn't hold or stand up to much. But biblical humility depends on God's power, on God's will, and not human power and my will. That's the main difference right there. That's what it depends on. It depends on God's power, God's will in your life. See, that's objectivity. If you're thinking about serving God within the situation where you shouldn't be, and what I mean by that is from a human perspective, right? This nasty person, you know, you don't think about, many people don't think about serving God within that situation, but that's where we're called to serve in every situation, whether they're ugly, mean, not very just, they're not fair. That's a hard one. But that's the one where we are given the ability to pass that test. You have to think about these things not as a person doing something to you. You have to think about God already knew this was going to happen. God provided this in your life for a reason. This really has nothing to do with what the person thinks about you. This has to do with what you think about God and passing the test in your life. That's what this has to do with, right? We can really get real focused on the person, but we need to stay focused. Remember that what the verse said, keeping our eyes focused on Jesus Christ. And that was the whole point of that, was it's easy to get our eyes off focus. And this is all wrapped up in wisdom, which is the truth. And it's funny because when you think about the truth of the matter, this is it. It's not about reacting. That's deceiving ourselves, isn't it? The truth of the matter is what we need to do here, what these verses are telling us. Either we're living based on a lie, or, which is usually some form of sin, right? Sin deceives. Or we're living on the truth of God's word. So you can see where and how all these benefits are made possible, though. It's all by God. It's all by God. Don't ever get bent out of shape because, oh, I can't do that. There's no way I can do that. That's overwhelming. This person just gets under my skin. There is no absolute way I can do it. No, you cannot do it. You can't do it. I'm telling you right now, you can't do it. God can do it. And that's why you need to use Him, use His resources that He's given us, use the spiritual life that He wants you to live, and use the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is so critical in these areas in our life that without the Holy Spirit, guess what? You're left with you doing it. And then all of a sudden, here we are right back on the same path that we were before, right? So needless to say, this is very critical, humility. And especially since we need to be of use to God. That's what we need to do. We need to make ourselves available. You know, saying, here I am. Remember we said just show up? Part of just showing up and being available is being in a mind or a state of being ready to be used by God. And humility is one of those things that does that for us. Taking the word is a part of that process. We know that. But I'm talking about when y'all go out into the world, we have to be ready to be used. And that requires humility. I think that state is humility that God is looking for, right? He's looking for that humble person that He can use. I'm not saying you won't mess up. I'm not saying you won't sin. I'm not saying any of those things, right? But I'm saying we have to have an overall purpose of serving God. And that purpose is found right here in this attitude of humility. That's a soul thinking thing, right? So if we ever plan to grow up spiritually in the plan of God, we have to be able to learn these things, hear them, receive them, and apply them, and all those things take humility. That's how much of a big deal this is. I think it's found throughout the process of your spiritual life, starting here and moving out into the relationships with people who have no humility. And you've got to deal with that. You have to know how to deal with that, because part of that is, you don't want to sever a relationship just because of something that, a bad decision that we made. But we have done that. We have. I have, you have, everybody has. We know what that looks like. But guess what? That was then. That was something in the past. We have new information, new truth that God has given us the ability to see through that with. That wasn't the right way. I could see that. Okay. We can move on. We can grow from that. This is what's right. Right? So that's the beauty of spiritual growth. It's something, the decision that I made back here, I didn't have maybe the necessary information that I needed to pass the test. Or you did, but you just didn't apply it. And we grow more and more and more. And then we can actually finally apply what we've known all this time. You know, we hear these things over and over, a lot of these things over and over repetitively. But when it comes to that one tiny little bitty ant bite test, we continue to fail. It's like, it's just one ant biting your toe, right? But we can't apply the word correctly. And it's, these are things that we already know and have heard and understand. So we have to begin to take this for what it is and realize that a lot of these things take humility. You see this word implanted. This was something that's already there. This is something that is already in your soul. In other words, these believers have been taught. We've been taught. We understand a lot of things that God has given us. He's basically telling them to receive the word that is already in your souls, that you're just not utilizing. You're not taking advantage of. There's a lot of believers that have a lot of information about God, about the Bible, but when it comes to their life, there's no correlation, there's no application, there's no carryover to say, hey, you seem like a stand-up Christian. You know all these things, but man, what's going on? You're crumbling on test after test after test in life, and you have to wonder, where's the breakdown? Well, this is one of those breakdowns. They're not receiving properly. They're not taking the word. They have a bunch of knowledge, right? But with knowledge, what can you do? You can regurgitate it. You can say, yeah, this about this. But you actually need humility to be able to receive and to actually live it. That's the only way that's going to come back out, is with humility. Knowledge can't do that. So receive the word in humility. It's a good verse. And now comes what you can do with that. And the point of all this hearing, learning, receiving, and obeying, what for? Right? Next verse. And prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. There's always a lie somewhere. Look there, delude. We delude ourselves when we're just hearers of the word. And nowadays, you know that we have a lot of hearers, a lot of Christians that are just hearers of the word, right? We have that. That's a big thing that Satan has really expounded in that area. And he's just taken full advantage of the fact that Christians have latched on to thinking that if I just show up to church and just hear the word and let everybody see that I'm there, that's good enough. Because now they're serving people. It's about what people think about them. It's not necessarily anymore about what God thinks and what God wants them to do with that word. It's about what they see of them, or what you see of me, right? Oh, well, they go to church all the time. Oh, they're doing stuff around the church all the time. They're in this committee, that committee. They're in this meeting, that meeting. They may even be a teacher. But when it comes to their personal life, it's not an example of the Word of God. It's not living the Word out in a way that is meaningful and applicable as it should be. hopefully they're not a teacher, right? If their life isn't somewhat reflecting the word, we should all be at least applying somewhat. But you get the idea. These things happen, right? So there's a lot of different motivations to do different things, is what I'm telling you. And if that motivation isn't to serve God, it's the wrong motivation. If it's just to be noticed, if it's just to say, I'll check that box off, it's the wrong motivation. That's the truth. So we have to not delude ourselves in those things, because that's all that is believing the lie, right? Believing the lie. There's a lot of things, remember, we can do to justify those things in our mind, but until we hear the truth, we're equipped with the truth, we don't have the means to overcome that, but now here it is. So receive the word, and here we go. Prove yourselves. See this word in blue, it means to come into being. That's it. The base meaning of this word is to come into being. You add the imperative to it, it turns into prove in the English. And I like that. That's a good definition. Because if you're proving something, what are you doing? You're showing what you became. That's all you're doing. You're showing what you did and what that this stuff actually works, that you are actually applying coming into being. The word is genomai. You've seen it before. And this is referring to a person who is progressively improving in spiritual condition. That's the coming into being that we're all looking for. That's what we're growing into. We want to come into being of a holy person as unto the Lord. That's what saints do, right? You're set apart at salvation, and then guess what? You're consistently set apart throughout your life because you're serving God. So are we coming into being? I guess this is the first question. Are we growing? Are we changing our internal condition, our soul condition? Are we moving forward in that plan, or are we stagnant? Right? That goes back to what I was saying earlier. This has motion to this word, to come into being. There's no just stagnation. There's no stopping. It means you are moving forward and not allowing people to drag you down for an extended period of time. We have to move forward on that. I'm not saying people are not going to cause you to make bad decisions. I'm not saying that, because they will. And we will get out and sin, get out of fellowship and sin. But what I'm telling you is that we should not allow this thing to happen for a long period of time at all. Not even past a day, right? Hours it should take us. I know it can be a struggle sometimes depending on what happened. But look, we have to come into being. We have to continue to form into what God wants us to be, which is to grow to spiritual maturity, right? And beyond. That's the goal. And then so there's a lot to this, but the only way to do that is by all the things we just talked about in humility, which is listening, obeying, living, and applying, all in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's all available to the believer. Every single bit of that is available. Every bit of it. So this means if we do all this, then you're a productive Christian. I would call that a productive Christian who is living the Christian way of life. It's not a Christian who is saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. Look what I did, look what I did. It's not that. We got plenty of those. We have enough of those, right? Let's just live the Christian way of life. This is in the soul. The out front will come if God wants you to serve in that way. He will put you out. He will push you out. He will kick you out, right? He will show you where he wants you to serve. And if it's in front of people, so be it. But the reality is we have to prove yourselves doers of the word. That takes place in the soul first and in the outside world second. It has to be internalized first. That's the first step of the process. And everybody seems to be getting the cart before the horse. The cart can't come before the horse, because then you're not a doer of the word. You're not proving yourself. You're stagnant, and you're appearing to prove yourself. That's what that means. And we've deluded ourselves if we do that. Man, I wish people would understand that God looks at the heart, not at what people see. And that's what this is all about. It's not about what we see. It's not about being first. It's not about doing something that is always out front and you know, flashy and popular and all these buzzwords that we hear that the youth is so twisted up in. It's about internalizing the Word of God in your soul and becoming useful to God. You know, when we glorify God at the same time, you are glorified. You are glorified. Because if God honors that, guess what He's going to do? Well, He's going to honor that by blessing you. He honors that by blessing you. And you all know, you've all experienced that. And that's, to me, that's honor and glory in the spiritual life. So, to prove, that's a big deal. If you're not proving yourselves doers of the word, internal first, external second, then what are we doing? I would say this is the Christian way of life, to prove that, not just by sight and sound, right? Not by what we hear only. So production, being useful is what this verse is talking about. So you can understand how critical, look what this is, the middle voice. It says it's a verb, present, middle voice. Remember what that means. The middle voice means there is a participation coming from you, from the object, the subject. There's a participation there, middle voice. It requires our participation, right? We know God is always going to do His part. But see, we can stay in that comfort zone. God will allow us to. That's why the middle voice means that there's something that we have to rise up to the occasion on. There is opportunities to be had. There's opportunities to be made in the plan of God. But we're the ones that have to take that step to at least, you know, want them, grab them, right? You have to. God wants positive believers. He wants believers who are willing. I think that's the biggest word, willing. Able is one, right? He knows you're able, but He wants you willing to do that second. Because if you're willing, guess what? He's going to use you. It's not about that routine anymore. It's about, where is God going to use me today? Your ministry can be wild and crazy, but guess what? It can also be fun, because God is going to throw some things at you where you can glorify Him in, and you have no idea how you even got there. You say, man, how did I get here with these people, with this place? How did I even meet this person, right? God will throw some things in your life that you least expect, because He knows you can handle them. He knows you can handle that blessing. He knows you can handle that person. He knows you can handle this thing, because you're going to glorify Him. That is a Christian that is willing. And so that's where we all want to be. So this is a command to come into being, or to prove. And this obviously requires what? Obedience to the command. You've got to grow. We have to mature as believers. And we have to glorify God. And I think every Christian should do that. Every single Christian. That's a command, right? If it's a command, it's meant for every believer. But as we see around us, as I already mentioned, it doesn't. So, all this to say is that knowledge can't simply say knowledge if we ever expect to be a doer of the word. It just can't simply stay knowledge, right? Another way to say this that you are very familiar with is gnosis can't just stay gnosis. It has to be transferred into what the Holy Spirit gives us, which is epinosis, knowledge that is above any human thing, right? This is knowledge that is from God that we can use. That's why it's called epi, above not regular knowledge. It's from God. And so we have to not only receive that knowledge in the Holy Spirit, but also take that knowledge that is from above and to be able to think with it. And when you're thinking with God's knowledge, you're able to also apply it to those experiences. So there's got to be the transfer, because this is not about just memorization and how much you know. It's actually about putting the rubber to the road, right? So, and we have to carry it out, improve your spiritual condition. And a doer of the word, remember I said that starts internally and ends up externally. And really, to me, this is a analogy to being producing divine good. Divine good. Because remember, there's different works. And I think that's a good place to stop. But as we'll see, there's a motivational issue involved here. And we've kind of already hinted around that. But we'll take a break and we'll talk about it when we come back. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the word. Thank you for just seeing your word in a way that is meaningful in our lives. And without Jesus Christ, we wouldn't know anything about it. So we're grateful that you not only sent your son, but that he provided our salvation by dying on the cross for our sins and then offering us that grace gift freely. He gave it to us freely and he offers it to us. And our only part in this is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you so much for being able to just express faith, trusting in you. And then that salvation gift is ours. And we're thankful for that. We ask all these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.